Good morning. Welcome to Sunday morning class. We can continue our study of Christian growth in James and Jude. This is lesson 4 in a series of 13, right? I think it's 4. Close enough. It's lesson something in a series of something. So anyways, today's study is going to be avoiding favoritism in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. This is a picture I took earlier in the week at the Waffle House. Waffle House. Waffle Ooze, as some people would call it. Waffle Ooze. And as Taylor pointed out, it's waffliest. It's an adjective to describe how it is. It's just waffliest. So, I like the Waffle House. I know it's probably bottom shelf for a lot of people. Bottom shelf, okay? Yeah, yeah, right there, where the grease drips out, that's where Waffle House is. If you've never been, I encourage you to go sometime. Slide on in. The Titusville Waffle House has been here since, I don't know, late 70s probably. It's very small. What I figured out one time, it seats like 42 or something like that. If you go in the late evening, it's hot as can be because the sun's setting and it's all glass and it just heats up. But the air conditioner is either on or off, so sometimes you'll go in there and it's 50 degrees, and there's condensation on the windows, and you just never can tell. It's a different place. They serve basically a limited menu. There's not a whole lot of stuff on there. FEMA likes that for emergencies here in America, and they can basically call the Waffle Houses. Are you open? Are you serving a full menu? Are you serving a limited menu? And they can basically gauge the level of emergencies, red, yellow, or green, based on how that kind of stuff goes. So, you know, like I say, a full menu, believe it or not, they serve T-bone steaks at Waffle House. I have never had a T-bone steak at Waffle House. I've once in a while had the chocolate pie, which is amazingly good, but amazingly sells out fast. And so usually you ask and they do not have chocolate pie, but me and Steve have both had the chocolate pie once in a while. Once. Is that all you've ever had it? Once. I might have had it twice. It's good though. So, anyways, but typically it's eggs, hash browns, grits, bacon. That's what they got on their menu. So you can judge by that. Waffle House, a lot of people will consider that to be, not only does FEMA use it, but it's also a good cross section of America. You know, if you've never been served a meal by a lady with a tattooed sleeved arms and blue hair and two teeth, there's the place to do it. Okay. Yeah. Oh, the Hunter family, the traditional Hunter family Christmas dinner is Camille and I eating at the Waffle House. We used to travel to Tennessee on Christmas Day, and like I say, they're open. They're always open. And so we'd stop and eat Waffle House. Some places in the South, you'll get off an exit and there'll be one on either side of the interstate. But it's a cross section of America. It's a little bit of everything. Depends on when you go, you will see. You will see the bottom dwellers. You will see the elite, believe it or not. If you watch Twitter, you will see every country music star eating at the Waffle House. They will take and post pictures of them. All the NASCAR racers eat at the Waffle House. You know, people with millions of dollars in their pocket will still eat at the Waffle House because it's open at 3 in the morning. But anyways, and if you've ever been at 3 in the morning, hold your tongue. Because it's a wild crowd. It's the ones that came after the bars closed. It's a different crowd. Different crowd every time you go. So anyways, that's Titusville Waffle House. I'm always amazed that they rarely have all 9, all 10, 11 lights lit. They rarely have all 11 lights lit. So as I go there, I stand in a certain spot and I take pictures of that. One day I'm going to put together an animated GIF with the different lights on and off. So I'd like to have the contract of changing the lights because I'm sure it's probably $500 every time you change one of those bulbs. So, you know, got to get a crane truck and go 40 foot in the air. Anyways, that's how that ties. Bonus picture, I found a cat with kittens at the shop. We get these strays that wander through there. I say they're strays, I don't know. Anyways, they're cats. When I was a kid and there were only 3 businesses out there, we had a cat, a shop cat outside. And that cat had kittens, and 4 years later, we still have cats and kittens around the industrial park. This particular black cat has three kittens. You can see the black one on the left with the blue eyes. You can see an ear, one in the lower corner, and that one's tiger striped. And on her back, you'll also see another ear. She has a Himalayan kitten. So she has three kittens, three different types. They all look different. So anyways, there's, like I said, avoiding favoritism. They don't even, one of them looks like her, the rest of them don't. So it's mama cat. And as I was talking earlier today, this is Vacation Bible School week. I'm extremely tired. Vacation Bible School wears me out. It's a whole week of 4 and 5 hour night sleep. I love it and hate it. So anyways, it's a balance there. I love it, and I'd love to give it up, and at the same time, I would miss it dearly. I point out this is the 13th Bible lesson I've taught this week. Chuck says it's a new week, so graciously God has reset that calendar. So it's only the first Bible lesson of this week. So we teach the same thing in that classroom. We teach the same lesson four different times each night. So we really had three lessons, four times each. The classes get older as they go, and I like that because the first time is not as good as the last time, and we grow with it each time. And if you didn't know, Abuelita was in our class. Wanda was in our class one time. We did Dora the Explorer all week. We took the Peruvian theme and twisted it. So we were Peruvian beach bums. We're beach bums in a Peruvian beach house on the beach. And we did Dora the Explorer. So we used my kids and Laura. Laura was Dora. Jamie was Boots. Grant was Swiper. We included Greg Eggleston as Senior Kookaburra. We had our own little storyline and did Dora the Explorer each night. So anyways, we had fun with it. So the kids enjoyed it. Even the first night, some of them were like, I hate Dora. But at the end, they're like, where is it? So, you know, we really had a good time. And again, avoiding of favoritism, I have no idea. Anyways, I just threw that up there. So I couldn't teach a class in this week without Dora the Explorer, so I threw it in there. Why is justice often depicted as a blindfolded lady holding both a sword and scales? And I stole this clip art online, and it said this was a tattoo. So if anyone wants to get this tattoo, apparently this is available. I don't personally want this one, but it is available. So why is justice often, we call it Lady Justice, and I'll also say that there was a Roman goddess named Justitia, I believe his name, but she's often depicted this way. How come? Blindness is impartiality. Yeah. It could be. Yeah, good versus bad. Okay, I'll give you that. Those are first kind of things that really come to my head, and I kind of looked in, got some other people's ideas, and sort. The sword represents the power of reason and justice. So you know, even like that. If you're going to have to make some kind of a decision, there's power in whatever the decision is. So, yeah, it really is that way. The scales represent the balance, like you say, good and bad. It could be the interest of one individual versus another individual. It could be the interest of one individual versus society. Sometimes one individual is going to have to suck it up for the better of society. So you're going to have to balance those. In the blindfold, like Chuck pointed out, justice is supposed to be blind. It's not supposed to see the differences in the parties. You're only supposed to look at the circumstances and judge it against a standard. It's not supposed to be who it is. So justice is best as blind. I understand that in Europe, they typically do not have the blindfold on Lady Justice. So but apparently their laws are different than ours, and that is represented by not having the blindfold on her. Exodus 23:3, nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his lawsuit. Exodus 23:6, you shall not pervert the justice due to your poor in his lawsuit. So the laws of Moses included laws on social justice. They really start in Exodus 22, a whole bunch of different laws. So question is, are provisions made to ensure justice for the poor? As Chuck will always point out, it's just a yes or no question, so the answer is yeah. Why? Why provide, you know, this is something that was written down. This law was kept for 4,000 years or so. Why have that provision? What's that? Well, yeah, you got a really good point there. So when it, at first, they kept it really well, and then later it was as it was convenient. So, and yeah, and that probably really leads to why this was written in James, too. Because, yeah, as a reminder. So why would you have laws like this providing justice to the poor? Ensuring justice to the poor. Because God's impartial? Yeah. Yeah, this is God's law. He's impartial. It doesn't matter. He's not concerned with how much money's in your pocket. Yeah, the poor, I mean, the rich can wield power to what they have. You take those scales and you put money on one side of it, that side's already got the advantage, you know, and it can be done that way. The poor don't necessarily have the means or representation. They a lot of times don't even have a foot to stand on, you know. Can't even get in their day in court sometimes, and this provides for that kind of thing. So. Yeah, yeah, he did. Yeah, because he was the king. You know, he had that authority. He could put his thumb on that scale as much as he wanted to. And Uriah was just a foot soldier. He did. And that kind of stuff. So although justice is blind, those who dispense it aren't blind. Okay, even the judges, although they're supposed to be blind to it, we know. They rate judges in a court system. Some of them are heavy on heavy against crime. Some of them are light on crime. So some of that kind of stuff is that way. They even take advantage of that. Some of the trademarks and stuff, they'll run that through certain court systems because they know some judges are more prone to look at that. The patent laws on communications for cell phones and everything, they'll run that stuff through a court system in West Texas because they have consistently favored in the sight of, they'll find an old patent that may or may not ever been used and they'll give that one authority over everything else and basically will sue Apple, Google, Samsung, Motorola. And then, so they own, all these guys own thousands of patents so they can battle each other. You sue me with this, I'll sue you with that, and you'll sue me. So they buy up everybody's patents and they have a cold war going with the big tech companies. Because of one court system. So that's, it's like I said, justice is supposed to be blind, those who dispense it aren't. In 1 Corinthians 1, 19 through 20, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? In the time of the New Testament, the gospel found more appeal with the poor and those on the margins of society. Why do you think it was? Why do you think the poor people, those who lived on the margins of society, why do you think they found more interest in the gospel than those who had power, money, and privilege? Okay. We'll go with you, Tommy. Well, you know, that's a good point right there. That's a good point. You could worship God. Well, one, as Jesus was feeding 5,000 and 4,000, as he was healing and all that stuff, you could take advantage of that where you might not be able to do it without money. And like I said, the cost of sacrifices, even though that was seen to be based on what you had, you go to a new system that doesn't have that cost, it's very beneficial. Yeah, I like that. John?
When you're poor, $10 a week, you're always looking for something.
Okay.
And if something promises some kind of answer or security, it would be easier to gravitate toward that. And if you have a lot and your needs are kind of always met, it can
I'm already fulfilled. I already have everything I need to fulfill. My truck's full of gas. I eat anytime I want to eat. I can have all the fun I want to have. Why something else? You're right. Why look for something like that? But those who have nothing, they're looking for some kind of fulfillment for the answers in life. Why, you know, even the simplest of answer, why even try, you know, at this state in life? But it is something to grasp on. Mary, what'd you have? Yeah. The gospel here in America today, why a lot of churches struggle with having men involved, men in leadership, and a lot of that is because of what the American man would have to say. The choices I've made are wrong. You know, what I've done with my money, what I've done with my time are wrong. And even to just reach out and say, I love someone else, someone who can't help me, someone who's another man. You know, somebody else's kid, to say I love these people is contrary to what American society would put out. So, yeah. Chuck?
There's no middleman. Because they have the right back.
Ah.
Yeah, I mean, they have
Christ,
they have the interpreter of the Spirit, but it's all God.
It's all God.
Yeah,
no bureaucracy. The bureaucracy, if you've ever dealt with the government, if you've ever dealt with, you know, bureaucracy in any form, it slows things down. You might not go through the effort of what it takes. You know, sometimes you'll get to the point where this is just what the job is, and you gotta do that kind of thing. But with somebody, he's gonna be impartial. Yeah, you won't get the fair shake. There's bribery involved. You still see this in a lot of countries. To get access to something, you got to have a bribe. You want to get a building permit? It's going to take a bribe. You want to get justice? It's going to take a bribe. This is how you do things. So that goes away. There's no middleman. There's none of that system. Brent?
The original Israelites that came out of Egypt, they were all poor.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, and they were poor. Yeah, you just came out of slavery. I know Pharaoh basically said, take all my stuff and get out of here. But yeah, they just came out of the worst situation possible. Poor, poor, and poor. And they would, believe it or not, very much understand that position, where they're at. So, okay. So much for this clicker today. It's got a full battery. Not reading. We'll grab the other one. Oh, computer thinks it's time to update. I'm glad I caught that now. Pick a time. Sorry, we just saved a tragedy there. Last time that thing rebooted, it took, what's that? Did you say Brent?
Brent said God must love poor people.
You know, yeah, God loved poor people. And he made these laws, and he apparently, you know, affects Windows too. So, anyways, where are we? James 2, that's where we're actually going to get to the text. James 2, verse 1, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. As I told you, James wrote this letter to Jewish communities. More of the poor than the rich had become Christians. The rich often persecuted them for even having confessed Jesus. So the rich Jews would persecute the poor, former Jews, now Christians, would be something that would regularly happen. How do you think this worked? And I got another question, is how is a similar injustice How is similar injustice dispensed today? Chuck? Yeah.
The same body that convicted Christ, Sanhedrin, was the one that was persecuting Jews, particularly there in Jerusalem, to say, we're going to put you out of the Jewish society. That social network that you had just went away.
It just totally goes away. Yeah, the families would disown their own kids. Your inner network of jobs and stuff would disappear. Housing would disappear. When I was in college, we had a Chinese grad student who ran one of the labs, and he told us one day, he says, I hate the communists. This guy came from China, and he would look over his shoulder every time he said this, right? You know, you're half world around. He says, but I've got to be a communist to get ahead. He could get a better job as a communist. He could get an apartment that cost him $1 a month. Versus $20 a month when he only made $30 a month, you know? So you take most of your paycheck into rent, there's nothing to eat, there's nothing, you know? But he signed up to be a communist, although he hated it, to get ahead. And this was what you'd have to do too. If you wanted to get back in the system, you would have to give up Christianity, come back to being a Jew, which I don't know how well that would work, but I don't think I've ever even heard that discussed, but that would be, like I said, they're pushed out. You're banned. The doors are locked. You're back out. So how about today? Is this happening today? You can be socially ostracized. We have laws that prohibit that kind of stuff today because of that possibility, you know. We will shall not discriminate against groups that you never even thought about having to include in that. Because of that, it happens, and like I say, it still happens despite the laws. The laws are just laws. So it still kind of happens, still happens today. So the rich held the power to decide whether the poor could even feed their families. My first slide was the Waffle House. If you ever talk to somebody who works as a waitress, waitresses are probably treated worse than anybody according to their shifts. They don't have... I mean, most of us have a job. We go in at standard hours, okay? Some of us work more than the 40-hour weeks. Kevin, Chuck, me, we don't know anything about a 40-hour week is. That's just part-time is what that was called. So but a lot of people have a standard set of hours. But unfortunately, waitresses don't. Well, you're going to close today and you're going to open tomorrow. They commonly do that kind of thing to them. Oh, I left you off the schedule this week. Are you kidding me? How am I going to pay? Daycare, rent, stuff like that. They are shuffled and treated because somebody can, is what a lot of it boils down to. So, you know, and I'm sure you'll find the same thing at all kinds of, like I said, lower economic scale jobs. Despite this kind of treatment, the poor often showed the rich favoritism. The rich made the decisions. The rich had the best seats in their assemblies. The rich were admired for their richness. Do we see this in society today? How do we admire the rich in our society? Same way. We pay a lot of attention to them, right? There are celebrities that I swear they're famous for being famous. Okay? That's it. There are people that are constantly, if my news feed on Twitter or something says anything about the Kardashians, I just move on. I don't know who they are. They're just always on the news and stuff. I don't know why they're there. But apparently they influence a lot of stuff. But a lot of times it's just famous for being famous. Money sets the standards. Phones. A telephone has become the status symbol of America. You know, that's hard to believe, isn't it? That a telephone is a status symbol. I know probably... I would tell Brent, did you always have a phone in your house growing up?
The one with the circle,
yeah, the dial. Yeah.
That one with my parents.
There you go. It's probably in the living room or in the kitchen. Okay. Weldon said he hand cranked one. Did you really hand crank one?
Dial.
Oh. My dad did. He grew up in a... Yeah, Yeah, my grandparents had party lines. Yeah, how well would that work today? Put your text messages on a party line. It goes out to six other people, and they have to say, "Oh, don't look at that. Don't look at that." You know, it's just, yeah. My dad, their first phone was, like you say, you pick it up. I think you rang it twice, and the operator would pick up, and he said you wanted to talk to somebody. It was one of those kind. Camille grew up in a town where you dialed four numbers. Small town, there was no other exchanges. It was already whatever it is, 7, 8, 9, whatever. Everybody had the same first three numbers. So you just dialed the last four. So, you know, and she's relatively young. Relatively. I know John says she's, Taylor said, no, she's still old, but she's relatively young. But Yeah. Why do you dial when I do not? I push that thing, or I just push their face on there, right? Hang up. Yeah, hang up's a different thing. Yeah, it's not as fun to slam the phone.
Yeah.
It still says hang up, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah. It does, doesn't it? I forget about that. Yeah, Camille's got that in her car. It's a universal sign. Even though smaller countries, and they're putting in cell systems rather than, or war-torn countries like Iraq, they've abandoned landlines. They're putting in cells. That's just, but anyways, the cell phone has become a status symbol, okay? If you carry a flip phone and you are under the age of 30, you are ostracized. Yes? Yes? What is up with you Luddites? A flip phone. Can't you put Facebook on that flip phone? No. The dumb phone. That's what they're called, isn't it? These are smartphones. Those are dumb phones. No. Oh. Yeah. You know, if you've ever had a sent a text message by pushing 2-3 times to get the letter C, you know, but that's, but phones become a status symbol. Well, that's true. You never get that going on. What's the new iPhone cost? The new iPhone, was it 7 Plus, 8 Plus? $700. $700. For some people, that's a, $700 is a rent payment, okay? $700 of rent payment. If you got $700 extra, more power to you. Get that phone. I'm sure that is the greatest and best thing in the world to carry. It's too big for your pocket, but don't worry about that. But that's the greatest thing going. But somebody working minimum wage, that's such a status symbol that they have to go out and spend the $700 to get the Apple 78 Plus so when they look cool. Like, I've got it. They're making monthly payments, but they're still making monthly payments on last year's phone and monthly payments on last year's phone. So they're paying $100 a month sometimes for a phone that looks cool. And some young people ask me, dude, what kind of phone is that? I said, it's not the phone that you carry. It's my phone. That's just what it is. There's no, the kids on my soccer team, I will not try to compete with them. I will not try to make them tell me that they want my phone. One, nobody carries a Motorola. You know, my family does. I do. Blackberry. But I still buy Motorola. I like them. They're way cheaper than the Apples. They do everything I need to do. I'm not concerned about status, what phone I have. Okay. Yeah. Crackberries. But the phone, people that don't have the money will spend the money so they look cool with something that's still very, what they really need. The flip phone will still do it, right? And some of them will say, that's all I need, and they'll carry it. But a lot of them will spend way more than the money they have to look good. So it's still in society that we will try to be as much as our brother on different levels than that. Well, if the church showed this preference, we'll start at the top. Since I'm a new elder, what if I showed this preference? I personally like orange carpet. Does this stuff start to wear out? I say we get more orange, right? The blue piping would look good, Chuck says, as he shows his personal preference. Oh, good luck on ever getting married here. Tommy doesn't like blue and orange. Oh, Bronco colors, there you go. So, you know, obviously some color is going to have to be picked. Okay, don't get me wrong on that. But we could have some really cool preferences, right? What else? What could be done if we wanted to show our own preferences? What if we wanted to give little heed to some people who got some more money? We didn't have to buy that Jesus fan. I could have got a sponsor. Play Linda Brewery, Jesus fan. Right? Could have done it, right? I got nothing against the guy. I mean, he owns a couple businesses here in town, but we could. It sounds weird, doesn't it? What about other stuff? Our baptistry could be sponsored by Nike, Adidas, right? There's a balance. That's a good question, isn't it? But sometimes it is a question of who are you serving? Who are you? Are you serving God? Are you serving people? Sometimes it is a special thanks. Man, those people dumped out 10 grand a piece to make this dream happen. You know, this church was built on bond money, right? And Chuck Sweat. Yeah.
You know, there's a movie about it. The one that comes to mind is he was in his bishop's wife.
Okay.
He's trying to build this cathedral, and the woman who's going to donate the most is saying, I want a wing in this new cathedral named after my husband. And the stained glass, if you could have his likeness of him in Christ, I would really like that.
That would be cool. Yeah. Yeah. The college I went to, not big college, but every building was named after somebody. And it wasn't to honor them for their achievements. It was honor them for the millions of dollars they dumped into it. What if our biggest donors, what if the people who had the biggest place in society got the coolest seats? Right? This is the coolest seat in the house. I can look down on all of y'all from up here. Well, I can't nap. Mike wouldn't see me at all. I mean, I can nap. He wouldn't know. He's right there. But is this the coolest seat? They even got special names, don't they? What's the name of that seat? Deacon's bench. Oh, I no longer can sit on the bench. Wow. I missed my chance, Kevin. Brent, I'm telling you, that's where I would be. Oh. Why not? Bring your rocking chair up, sit up there. You know, Wanda's been here a long time. She was a husband of an elder. She's a mom of a deacon. Why not give her some preference? Where she wants to bring a rocking, she wants to sit anywhere she wants. Change the rules, you know, change the rules a little bit. Why use that pie dough stuff that Bibi makes, man, for the Lord's table? Why don't you just do something different? You can see, go ahead. Oh, really? Yeah. Wow. Like the stadiums and stuff, right? The box seat, yeah. I have. But you can see how preference could go pretty easy. What if we had the people come for the food pantry? What if we made them sit here in the back because of the Lord's Supper? We don't want them getting first biggest pieces of the cracker or the best cups. The best cups are on the outside, unless you're me, and the best cup is the center cup. Okay. I did communion one Sunday night. I grabbed a cup on the outside and drank from it as I realized there was nothing in that cup. It was somebody else's cup. So I no longer reach for the outside cups. So, anywho, I show a preference right there, you know. Hey.
No, that's a learning curve.
That's a learning. So. So anyways. But you can see how things could get out of hand. The gospel's open for everyone. It's regardless of social status, regardless of whatever. It's here for all of us. And you could. It could get to the point where a preference would keep someone out of Christ. Tommy? No, it's because the pews are made up. It's because the pews are made this way. You can do either one. You know you're not wrong.
I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, it is weird. This summer we traveled. I took communion and held on a cup, and Camille was like, "Put it back in the rack." And it's like, "Oh, because I'm looking for this, right?" The pews are made this way. Why do we do it this way? Is there a real reason? No. So you don't get that empty cup. Well, I texted Kirk a couple weeks ago. Kirk and the Hunt kids were out of town, okay? So all 20 of them got in the car, and they went, all right? So anyways, Kirk's kids pick up the cups, okay? They hit this thing, and they pick them up. Jay has been known to count the cups and tell you how many faithful baptized believers took of the communion today. But they clean this place up, right? I mean, they're just like the cleaner shrimp in Finding Nemo, right? They just take care of this. This is their job. Nobody else gets involved. This is their job. Well, they're out of town, and the communion cups didn't get picked up, and everybody's left. So three elders and an elder's wife picked up the communion cups. Now, is that wrong? Absolutely not. But I texted them. I said, "Dude, your kids are gone. Three elders and an elder's wife had to picked up the cups. I mean, that's how much we miss them." And they love it. They love serving that way. So why do we do it? It was a decision before I got here, so I don't know. It is what it is. And one day, if we ever get new pews, we may not have those little cup holders, and we have to train people, put it back in the little cup holder. So anyways, you can see how this thing could go crazy. Even VBS, I'm going to back up on that. I noticed the announcements always say free VBS. I was like, really? I thought VBS was always free, right? VBSs I went to a kid, I don't think we paid for them. A lady called her, answered the phone the other night. She goes, "I want to know about your VBS." I said, "We're having a VBS." She goes, "When is it?" "Is it 6 to 8:30? It's 6 to 8:30. "Well, we didn't register. You got space?" "Yeah, we got space. Bring your kids." "Well, it says it's free. Is it really free?" "Yeah. It's free. I want your kids to come. I don't want you saying, well, 10 bucks a piece is way too much. Bring your kids." The elders have had that. Because they're not showing preference, they've already had that foresight that we budget for VBS. It's paid for. The snacks, the drinks, the people here make cookies. It's taken care of. There's no cost to bring your kids. Imagine that, 10 bucks a piece, Kirk. Yeah.
See?
I know some of them do. You get a T-shirt with it, so they're charging for the T-shirt, but part of it goes into the... Camille has been a mercenary for a VBS for the Methodist Church for many summers. She didn't do it this year, but my friend from growing up, she attends there, and her and Camille are friends, and she would call Camille, "Hey, they don't have any teachers, and you know the Bible better than anybody. Come on down." So Camille would help. She's done, that's 4 or 5 years, has taught VBS at the Methodist Church. The Methodist Church doesn't have, apparently someone else would do that. So she's a VBS mercenary. She says, "I'll make sure I get the Bible taught." So, you know, and my friend, she does the crafts. That's her thing. So anyways, but it charged. I know they charge for T-shirts at least. But anyways, which I got no problem with if it's just T-shirts. James 2:2-3, "For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' well, you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there. Sit down at my feet.'" We got a celebrity comes here in a little while. Where's that celebrity going to sit? Wherever's the space. That isn't in the back row, and it will never be on the aisle, okay, because there's no space. And if you come late, who knows, right? You have to go down front, that's right. But if we knew a celebrity was coming, would we treat them like a celebrity?
Rope off a row.
The president likes multiple rows, okay? The president comes, like to sit a third of the way from the front, give me three rows, oh, make it four, so, you know, would you do it? I don't know. Jimmy Carter taught Bible class about every third Sunday as president of the United States. I read that in one of his books. Can you imagine that? To me, that is one of the most amazing things I've ever heard about a president. He taught Bible class. They never announced when he was going to teach. He would just show up and teach. He still does to this day. Whenever he's there in Plains, he goes to the next town over, Americus. There's a hotel that we stayed in Americus. They've got an advertisement there. Jimmy Carter teaches Bible class here. He teaches Bible class here and there. They don't announce it because, again, he was president of the United States. Now, I guess the Plains Church, they said it's small. But when he teaches or people show up, they'll have 4-1, 10-1 versus members. And the members serve everybody else. He says he always teaches the gospel. He says they might have never heard it. But, you know, president's coming to teach Bible class. I'd give it up. If a faithful president was going to come teach Bible class, I'd give up my spot here on the orange carpet. But we wouldn't need to give him more preference. Well, I'm not going to teach about baptism. And I'm not. I got to have a choir. We're not going to change. We'd have to give preference to what we do. And I've spent most of my time on one verse. So anyways. Oh, yeah, skin color, definitely.
I mean, man, some of the stories I've heard
from
my
It's crazy. Yeah. It's there. Yeah, that's going to it's happened at all times. It has. Yeah. I think it'll happen. I think it's happening now. We're already seeing that here to some degree. And, yeah, we have two churches in this town which could be unified. And I think that will happen. It is. It is. Anyways, we'll go forward a little bit. Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges of the evil thoughts? Anyways, he goes on and basically says, the rich have oppressed you, and now you're passing that on to somebody else. Don't do this. Don't do this. So, the royal law, love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love somebody, you can't love your neighbors as yourself if you're making preferential treatments to the other. And looking back at the old law, if you violated one part of the old law, violate it all. Same thing here. You can't keep it by doing that. So next week's Kevin. Look, I had all kinds of stuff. Dun, dun, dun. Kevin, faith and works, James 2:14-26. So he'll teach next week.